Welcome to the Beyond Your Beliefs podcast. Are you ready to go beyond your beliefs? Welcome back to the Beyond Your Beliefs podcast, where we inspire you to go beyond the boundaries of your beliefs. I am your host, Jerrica.
I'm your host, Toya.
Welcome to the space. Hey, y'all. We're back. What episode are we on?
Oh, I don't even know. Is it like 7?
I think it's 7.
I think so.
I want to say this is episode 7. 4, 5, 6. Yeah, I think this is 7. Okay. Well, we are on episode 7, hopefully. I think. And today we are, let's get personal episode. So today we are not going to review or go into any specific body of work per se. But we are going to talk about our personal experiences with divorce. So that is going to be interesting. How did we decide that this would be the topic?
Man, what were we talking about? I don't know how we even got to divorce, but
it might have stemmed from the Four Agreements episode. It's possible, because we had talked about how, you know, not making assumptions, just how not following those agreements can lead to relationship issues.
Yeah.
So that's probably how it came.
And we were talking about holding a person to something.
Yes.
Like that you can never change your mind. We were talking about that.
Right. Yeah. So like with the assumptions and expectations, like, so at what point are you allowed to assume based on an expectation, you know, which then is based on an agreement that you technically have with somebody. Mm-hmm. And, you know, essentially, if you have an assumption, but the assumption really isn't an assumption because it is an expectation, and the expectation is okay because of an agreement, and you are supposed to be impeccable with your word, which is an agreement, then that sounds to me like the expectation or that assumption is validated, and is true to have based on what you and the other person contracted or agreed to do. So yeah, that was how we got onto the topic of it. But we wanted to get personal because, again, this is Beyond Your Beliefs, and we're talking about our spiritual and personal journeys and the experiences that we have had that has contributed to our spiritual journey and where we are spiritually. So, Toya, do you want to you want me to start? Or you?
Sure. Yeah, you start.
Okay. Well, okay. So, piggybacking off the previous episodes of the personal agreements, I mean, the four agreements. So with my story, so I got married in December of 2011. And then I went through a divorce we were separated in 2017, and my divorce was final in 2018. But essentially, actually, my divorce was definitely a catalyst for my spiritual journey in a lot of ways. I was already on a spiritual journey. So if you guys remember from the first episode, the introduction episode, I had mentioned about how I was going through my Hebrew Israelite phase. Now, that happened while I was still married. And at the time, he was supportive of that. You know, he didn't subscribe to it himself. He himself did not subscribe to the Hebrew Israelite stuff, but he was supportive of me doing it. And then as it kind of evolved from that, because he's more like, you know, like Black Power, not quite Hotep, but but just kind of like that Black Power energy, which that's, you know, that's fine, but he didn't necessarily subscribe at this point in his life to any religion per se either, although he did and does believe in a higher power. So we were both kind of in this place of just kind of figuring things out. But he was at a standpoint where it was of understanding, like, where religion has had a negative impact on people of color or Black people or the so-called African Americans. So he was kind of on that. Whereas for me, I was doing the Hebrew Israelite thing. And as it evolved from that, was like in the middle of where the issues happened that led to the divorce. So in December of 2016, I had found out on New Year's Eve going into New Year's Day. So going from December 31st, 2016 into January 1st, 2017, I found out that my husband was having an affair. And I was crushed. And really how I found out was just women's intuition plus, you know, a little bit of change in his schedule, like his behavior. But basically, yeah, I found out on New Year's Eve. I was crushed, went through a lot. That was a really dark, harsh moment in my life because my children were young, very young, like diapers and pull-ups young. And I was tested in a lot of ways. I was forced to move very quickly because the affair had been going on for 7 months by the time I found out. And I kind of was able to, when I contacted the woman, I had found her information on our Verizon bill. And so I had called her, reached out to her, and basically was just like, at that point, I wanted to save my marriage. So this was like around January of 2017. So after the new year, I called her up and I, you know, told her I was like, hey, don't hang up. And she didn't. And I basically, you know, was telling her that, you know, I'm trying to save my marriage and I can't do that if you're contacting my husband. And I basically asked her to stop. And her words to me were, I know what I should do, but I don't know if I can. And that rung so loudly in my ears. And at this point, my husband was not trying to end it. Like, we had agreed that I would be present when he ended it with her. And every time the day came for him to make the call, he kept finding reasons to not do it. He kept making excuses. And so with that happening, plus her telling me that she knows she's wrong, but can't stop, I realized I had to bow out gracefully. I just realized that there was nothing else that I could do at this point. And I wasn't about to be sharing. So mind you guys, Toya, even though she's my best friend, she did not know what was going on at this time. I had not told anybody at this point. And so I was dealing with this by myself. And so, yeah, I bowed out gracefully. And at that point, we had officially decided to separate. And by March, I had filed for the divorce. But it was really hard because probably I would say by May, definitely, but by the mid-June, my ex-husband was already like saying, I want the kids to meet her, like all of this stuff. So it's like, you know, but for him, he had that 7 month head start. So he was already kind of over me emotionally, you know, in a lot of ways. Whereas for me, it was new information. I was still processing a lot of it. And so for him to want her to like meet our children, like, are you kidding? Like, I'm still trying to cope with the fact that we're divorcing. But what I knew was with the, you know, biweekly visitations, I knew I could not control what my kids were doing when they were in his presence. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna have to compromise on this. And I had decided, you know, well, I want to meet her first. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, okay, you know, unfortunately. So I did. I met up with her at a Starbucks, and I didn't realize he was bringing her. So he was there too. So I asked him to go sit on another part of the Starbucks, and me and her chatted. And I didn't cuss her out, just like on the phone. I never cussed her out. I didn't get overly, you know, emotional with her or anything. I just basically wanted to lay eyes on her. And I would try my best not to associate the part she played in it completely reflecting her character or who she is. Mm-hmm. Because I do believe that people can do fucked up shit and it not have to necessarily define who they are. Sometimes you get caught up in emotional moments. Mm-hmm. You know, now she was a perpetual, you know, a side chick. You know, that'd be one thing. But as far as I knew, this was the only time that this had happened. And I truly had believed that she had gotten so involved emotionally that it was too hard for her to just cut it off. I did appreciate the honesty in that, though, because she did tell me on the phone that she didn't know that she could do it. She was upfront about that. So yeah, we met up at the Starbucks, and I basically was just saying, don't be yo-yoing in and out my kid's life. The fact that you have let it get this far to where me and my ex are literally divorcing because y'all want to do y'all, then you need to go ahead and take that mantle all the way and be present and go ahead and be ready to be stepmama, basically, is what I told her. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, in that moment, I realized why he had liked her. I could see why he was attracted to her and stuff. And it was a really hard place to be in spiritually because I felt like I was the victim. I felt like this was all happening to me. And here I am being understanding of the situation. Like, I'm asking myself, like, what the hell? He don't deserve this. You know, but I also realized it wasn't about them. It was about me. And one thing for certain was that I did not want my kids to have a situation where they felt like they couldn't like her or they had to always consider mommy's feelings when dealing with her or their father. And I often felt subjected to that when my parents went through a divorce. So that was what really motivated me to be as cordial as possible, because I had all the cards in my hand. You know, and it was really my energy and my approach that could have made this be completely a mess, or we could just end things amicably. So I decided to take the high road, and I did. And just so y'all know, he is still with this woman today. My children do spend time with her. It's been almost 5 years now. So it was very hard. But going through that process, you know, I had, for the first time in my life, contemplated suicide. And not because I didn't want to be there for my children. I love my children. But the pain that I was feeling was so bad. I had never, ever experienced this level of hurt. Like, I thought I had been hurt broken before. No, this was next level. And the suicidal thoughts that I was having at that time was to stop that pain. It felt like the only way out sometimes. And if I didn't, you know, by this point, of course, I had told Toya and my mother, like, what was going on. And it was just very hard. And believe it or not, y'all, like, I had reached out to her parents, her father in particular. That was during the point where I was trying to fight for the marriage, though. Mm-hmm. And I was pretty desperate, like, because I didn't know anybody that knew her, but I saw her page was open on Facebook. And I reached out to her dad and was just like, yo, you don't know me, I don't know you, but your daughter's having an affair with my husband, and I'm not trying to be funny, but I'm desperate. Can you talk to her? So by the time I had called her from the Verizon bill and got her number, this was after I had reached out to her dad. So she knew, and she mentioned it on the call that her dad had spoke with her. And her dad called me from Facebook and basically was just like, you know, if she was younger, I could have more influence. He did let me know he spoke with her, but he also admitted that because she was a grown woman, there really wasn't much that he could do. Mm-hmm. But I did appreciate the fact that he reached out to me and he was trying to comfort me, honestly, even mm-hmm. though he agreed that his daughter was in the wrong. And he ended up sending me a video from one of Tyler Perry, Madea's plays. And basically it was that scene, and I can't remember which one, but it was a scene where basically Madea was saying, you know, when a man wants to leave you or a man is mistreating you, let it go, you know, and mm-hmm. moving on. And he had told me that if there was anything that I needed, I could reach out to him. And it was just like this little, he was like this little, and I didn't know this man, you know, but mm-hmm. he was like this little diamond in the rough, this little piece of comfort at such a hard time for me. And mm-hmm. he just reminded me of my role to just focus on my babies. Mm-hmm. And I did, mm-hmm. you know, I tried my best to do that. And so it was tough. It was tough. But my spirituality, me just trying to focus on me and those four agreements, trying not to take what they did personal. I realized that it was more about them and what they needed from each other than it was about hurting me. It really had mm-hmm. nothing to do with me. I just got, mm-hmm. I was just in the crossroads of what they had going on. And so I was affected by it. But it was them, you know, mm-hmm. and me bowing out gracefully and just taking accountability for my part that could have led up to it. And I'm not saying that any person deserves to be cheated on, mm-hmm. but I do know where in the marriage I had pulled back. There were some things that had happened that had caused me to lose trust and faith in him financially. And honey, I got Venus and Taurus, baby. You don't mess with my security, especially financially, okay? I got Capricorn on the fourth mm-hmm. house, okay? Stability is important for me, okay? And I have Scorpio in the second. So emotional security is important for me. And he had done some things that really discouraged me. And at that moment, you know, we may have had a little fight about it and we moved on. But I didn't realize at the time how the things that he was doing was actually affecting me more. And I had lost that trust in him. And so I had pulled back sexually because, you know, sex for women tends to be very mental. So mm-hmm, when our minds mm-hmm. is fucked up, we ain't thinking about creaming for you. Okay. You know, excuse me being explicit just then, but I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. So that's what led to him having sexual desires that was not getting met at home, and he began to seek elsewhere. But yeah, that's, I'm gonna stop right there so that Toya can start to tell her story and we can continue to develop and tie in the spiritual aspects and, you know, our advice, especially if other people are going through similar things. So Toya, I'm gonna let you pick it up from here.
Okay. My story was a little different. For me, my ex is very into church and religion. And although I did come from that background, I wasn't as heavy in it as he was. But we did start spending a lot of time in church. Well, I started spending a lot of time with him in church and just learning different things and spiritually. So for us, our divorce came, 2019, I believe it was mm-hmm. 2019. It was more emotional. We never had a big problem, y'all. We never had a major issue. It was always, what is it? The small foxes ruin the vine or something like that. It would just be little things, such little
small petty things.
But it was behavioral and emotional.
Yeah. It was definitely like the emotional part that ruined us mainly.
Now let me just say, guys, to keep it in context, emotional abuse or taking advantage of somebody emotionally is just as important as the physical, okay? Emotional and mental manipulation can very much tear down a marriage. So
it almost seems worse.
You know, so when she says that it was the little things, mm-hmm. it was the little things as far as behaviors here and there, mm-hmm. but they impacted her and the marriage in big ways. Because right. it spoke mm-hmm. to character. So I just want to make mm-hmm. this clear.
Yeah, it definitely did. And so with him being very active, I had those expectations of how
you
I
mean
thought,
active in church?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. While he's being very active in church, I think I had those expectations. Just though this is what it should be, or this is what you think it should be. Because the person,
he a man of God,
right? So, and I'm all there. I'm all like, this is the church's way, and this is what it got to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't deviate. And so, I had expectations of the way things should be, the behavior and things like that. And it wasn't there. And when I'm seeing it not be there, now I'm being more open to everything that's going on in church. Now I'm starting to question things. For one, I was taking everything personal. Mm-hmm. And I was feeling like everything was happening to me. And at that time, I couldn't see anything I was doing wrong. Surely I am perfect in this situation right here. And this is your fault. You did it. And I felt I was bold in that. I believed that at the time. And having that experience and being able to look back at it and actually see myself and the things that I did or didn't do has gotten me where I am right now. But to go back to what I was saying, that's where my transition came from, me being more observant of the things that was going on. And so then it started to change my beliefs a little bit, like, or make me revisit it. You know, this mm-hmm. would be things that we would talk about, like, well, let's revisit this. And how come this can happen, but then this doesn't happen, you know? And so for me, I'm feeling like I'm the right one. I'm the right child of God. So surely I need to see him being punished right now, because you see what's going on.
The vengeance of an Aries, see, okay?
Right, right now, I want to do this myself. But I'm trying to do this the right way. And so I need to see it. And, you know, you go through the part where they're like, oh, you don't have to see it. And when you're looking right. for it, it uh-huh. don't have to happen. I don't want to hear it. I want to see it.
Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord.
Right. And so now I'm feeling some kind of way because I don't see no vengeance. So I'm feeling like God, quote unquote, God is making this happen or letting this happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so then that's when the transition began to come as far as the way that I looked at spirituality. And that's where I began to say, this surely if I'm doing everything that I know is right.
Mm-hmm.
But the things that I did do right, you know, doing it thinking like, okay, surely I need to see this. I need to see this change or that change. And I began to take things personal with God.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking to God outside
mm-hmm.
of me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was looking to the God outside. And then I began to learn about God being inside of me and things being there, everything being there, you know, that I need. And so that basically, like I said, that was like the transition of me being more watchful and things not happening. And when I did decide to get a divorce, I think that by that time, it was more so like a, I think the hurt of it was gone, per se. Mm-hmm. It was more so the, the aggravation of it, maybe. It was more like, I was more frustrated, more angry. So my response to it was different. You know, the disappointment was there. It just wasn't it didn't have the hurt with it. It was already, I think the hurt from the emotional part of it was, I think everything was gone. Mm-hmm. I think it had already drained me. So once the divorce did happen, that part wasn't there, but to what you were saying, Jerrica, thinking of committing suicide, co-parenting for me has been extremely difficult, and just to almost feel like, why did you even get a divorce? Because you kind of deal with the kind of like the same thing,
the same manipulation and behavior,
the same behaviors. Yep. And it's like, well, what was the point? Especially in the beginning, it was extremely, extremely difficult. And so that part was just like, that was the part that made me feel like, I don't even want to be here. I don't want to do it. You know, I don't want to do this anymore.
Because you felt like how many years left of
right? I'm counting the age of my child, and I'm like, oh my God, I don't know if I could do it. I literally felt like trapped. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you get away? Like, make it stop, make it go away, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's almost something that I guess you. I don't know. I would sometimes have the feeling of, if I could just get used to it, if I could get used to it, it wouldn't be so bad. And it was seemed like it was taking me forever to get used to it.
Yeah.
And, but it did ultimately make me do a lot of searching, soul searching within myself. Mm-hmm. And it made me, especially when, you know, I would hear things like, you know, you're attracting these things. Mm-hmm. It definitely would make me, you know, made me look more into myself and yeah. even look at the things that he had to say about me as well. Mm-hmm. You know, at that time, saying it to me at that time, that was just like saying it on deaf ears, because and it's funny, I say on deaf ears because I heard it. But I wasn't receiving it at all at that time, right there. Not. Right? You don't get if you ain't acting right, you don't get to tell me about me not acting right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
At that point, if I am, I'm justifying it. It's justified. Thank you. But now I can say I appreciate it because of where I am right now. I don't think I would have gotten here.
Yeah.
From that, if I didn't have that experience, and that was the life-altering experience that made me look spiritually. Mm-hmm.
And I can totally sense that. Like, you need those experiences because they are what become the catalyst for the change that ultimately you're asking for. It just doesn't look like it in the moment. So, like, for example, when the situation happened with my ex-husband, where I had lost that trust and faith in him, you know, I began to pray for a man that could be that. And mm-hmm. so that's when, if you're not vibrationally matched anymore, if you're married mm-hmm. to one person, but then the type of behaviors and the characteristics and traits that you desire, that person is not willing to right. exhibit, or they are not mm-hmm. being in that moment, then the universe is going to give you what you want. So it mm-hmm. can't help but to cause friction. Because you're no longer vibrationally matching that person.
Right.
The mm-hmm. man that I was then trying to manifest wasn't the man that I was married to anymore. So right. you grow apart, essentially. And so mm-hmm. then when a new person comes into your life, they should be matching the prayers that you have prayed for. If you are doing it intentionally and consciously mm-hmm. to say, I want a man that does this, this, and this. Well, my prayers did not match. Those characteristics and traits did not match right. uh-huh. who my ex-husband was at that time.
Uh-huh.
And so
uh-huh.
we began to no longer be in harmony. We were no longer in alignment. And so it couldn't help but have that friction there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's either agree. That person is going to change.
Mm-hmm.
Either that person is going to become aligned with those things that you're praying for,
mm-hmm.
or they're not.
Right.
And so to what you were saying, I wasn't seeing no changes. So
exactly.
I was thinking like, wait, I'm taking this personal because yes. surely I'm doing this right.
Right.
And I wasn't seeing any changes. It's just that. That like you were saying, we weren't aligned anymore, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's funny that it was that way because half of the year we weren't even together.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the emotional abuse of it, and even with the distance was still there.
Mm-hmm.
It still had, you know, it still had that same effect, but I still, so even from there, I still wasn't seeing a difference. I still wasn't seeing the change, of the things that I was asking for at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, for me, I wanted, it's interesting when you feel like you have to beg for certain characteristics or for them to treat you a certain way. And it's like, I just want them to want to do it naturally. Like, I want to be treated a certain way, but I want the person who's doing it to it be who they are. Because if you're mm-hmm. acting in who you are, then I don't have to ever worry about not getting that treatment. I don't have to never worry about not being treated good because it's who you are. Versus, you know, when you're trying to force somebody to be something that they're not, mm-hmm. they may be able to hold it and do it for a little while, but then after a while, they're going to slide back into old habits. They're going to get back to how they normally are.
Right.
And mm-hmm. so I have found with relationships that things are best equally yoked or in harmony or in alignment when it's those parts that what is not said is what is understood
mm-hmm.
or what is
mm-hmm.
understood between you don't have to be explained
mm-hmm.
because it's mm-hmm. like you just get it because the things that you're trying to explain are so complex and so multifaceted that it can be hard to put it into words. But when that person is already vibrating on the same frequency as you, you don't even have to express the energy to explain that. They already have that. It's, mm-hmm. it's like it's already inherent in them. So,
right.
You know, and so, and like, so like in astrology, that's like, to me, that's like the moon and probably like the ascendant sign too. Because like the moon represents like our emotions and how we process things, how we take in things, what filter that comes through and how we perceive what we take in. You know, moon, Mercury, ascendant has a lot to do with that. And I've noticed, like, when I date somebody that has had the same moon sign as me, I don't have to explain my emotional needs.
Mm-hmm.
They already get it because they're the same moon sign.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's one less thing that you feel like you have to teach your mm-hmm. partner how to do. Like trying to teach your partner how to love you. They already inherently have that part.
Mm-hmm.
In that
mm-hmm.
part, like, it feels good, you know? It's like, I don't feel mm-hmm. like I have to build a man, you know? And I'm mm-hmm. not saying a person needs to be the same as you. I'm just saying that it's so much smoother when it's not something they have to check off their list because it's who they are.
It's a fit. It's like a puzzle piece.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be hard. You shouldn't have to say, okay, this is what I need this to be, or this is what I need from you, and have these lists of expectations and things like that. Because mm-hmm. everything should flow, actually.
Exactly.
Or if they're doing seven things that you can't stand, mm-hmm. and it's a character, it's a part of their character, what do you do with that? You can't change a person's exactly. character.
Exactly.
So those are the relations. I think that a lot of times, sometimes before marriage, I think we see some things that we don't fully pay attention to.
Girl, or we see it and we think we can change it.
You can change it. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And you shouldn't go into a marriage wanting to change anyone. Exactly. Because there are chances that they won't change.
Exactly. Or we shouldn't go into the marriage, and that's this is a big one, and that is expecting them to be who they were on the day you got married forever. Yes.
Right.
Not allowing mm-hmm. them any wiggle room to grow or, you know, to evolve into something else. And that's why we have a lot of divorces. So, like, for example, the fact that I went through starting to go through a spiritual change, if my ex was a, you know, diehard Christian, that could have been a problem, you know, because mm-hmm. it's like, wait, on the day we got married, though, you were Christian. But if I have evolved and I've changed and I now connect with a different faith, now that causes issues depending on how strong that person's beliefs are. You know,
that would have definitely been an issue for me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So then mm-hmm. that speaks to the passage that you and I were talking about earlier and yesterday about in the conversations with God about marriage being this idea of trying to gain emotional and physical security. You're trying to lock in this promise to be loved forever and ever and mm-hmm. ever. And mm-hmm. by doing so, we restrict that being from being themselves wholly if it doesn't line up with who they said they were on the date that we got married, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, on the date we got married and you were skinny, how dare you gain weight? You know, this is right. what I signed uh-huh. up for. Or, mm-hmm. you know, if maybe you were rich when he got married and then maybe he made some bad moves and lost the money, and you know, so it's like getting married based off of these contingencies mm-hmm. and it's like, you know, as long as this, then this, you have to promise
it's
to
conditional
provide it. Yeah,
and it's very conditional, but you're supposed to be stuck to it for mm-hmm. based on your vows
mm-hmm.
you're stuck to the but it's very conditional though.
It is. And so that part of the book, and you know, I know I said that, you know, we wasn't going to be, you know, necessarily getting into anything, but you know, the conversations with God does really talk about marriage in a very interesting way. And I wanted to share just that part where, you know, God was saying about to Neil, you know, because Neil was like, oh, you know, you don't really believe in marriage. And he felt like the way that God was calling out society on how we've operated in marriage, Neil felt like, you're ruining my whole little image of what marriage is. And God's response was, religion and marriage, the way you have constructed them, is what we're talking about here. You have bastardized the word of God in order to justify your fears and rationalize your insane treatment of each other. You will make God say whatever you need God to say in order to continue limiting each other, hurting each other, killing each other, and you do it all in my name. He says that if marriage allowed you to be unlimited, eternal, and free in your love, then it would be the ultimate announcement of love. As things are now, you become married in effort to lower your love to the level of a promise or a guarantee. Marriage is an effort to guarantee that what is so now will always be so. If you didn't need this guarantee, you would not need marriage. And how do you is as a means of creating from that which is inside of you. Secondly, if that security is not forever forthcoming, as a means of punishing each other for the marriage promise, which has been broken, can now form the basis of a lawsuit, which has been opened or divorced. And you have thus found marriage very useful, even if it is for all the wrong reasons. Marriage is also your attempt to guarantee that the feelings you have for each other, you will never have for another, or at least that you will never express them in a certain way with another.
Mm-hmm.
So
now, had I had that then, I would be fine,
right?
Because now my outlook on marriage and divorce is completely different.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Divorce is okay. It's mm-hmm. okay to get a divorce. It's you're growing.
Exactly.
You're growing. You're moving on. It's a new chapter, you know.
But we've been
there's
taught
some type
to look
of transition
at it as failure.
Yes, we've been taught that it's failure, or if mm-hmm. you're not married by a certain age, then you're what did they used to call you?
An old maid. What they call it?
Yeah, or something like that. Like, if you're not married by a certain age or something, mm-hmm. it's always always something negative, you know, around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the marriage and the divorce.
Yeah.
And so if I knew those things, for me being in church and trying to follow it the best that I knew how, I felt like, well, I may not be happy, but he has to cheat on me in order for me to be able to file a divorce.
And that was the religious part.
And I couldn't shake it. Like, this,
yeah.
Or because everywhere you went, it's, well, then if you do, then you're an adulterer. And then, or if you do this, then you're still married to him. Or you're, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like that. You're still
you're
spiritually
stuck.
Married. Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, it's still, so for a very long time, it was that stuck feeling. But I was, and so then that was the more of the anger, because here it is. Okay, God, I'm doing what you say. And still, this is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing's changed.
Yeah.
Nothing's happened.
Yeah.
Y'all, I look at posts, right, where people say, you gonna lose your man because he ain't vacuum. You ever saw those kind of posts, like saying
what?
That it's the pettiest situations? Yeah. And so I just think about my situation, y'all. I have a cleaning problem. And I would clean up everything and go to work. And when I would come home, it would be like a hurricane went through the house. Why? The pain that I would feel.
Oh, God.
No, it would literally hurt. It would hurt. And it would emotionally hurt me too, because this is on purpose.
Oh,
this is the get at me.
Oh,
there's no way.
Don't take this personal.
Oh, it was so personal. Oh, gosh, it was so personal. You know, and I look at those little memes like, okay. You know, you don't know how much it affects that person if you don't vacuum. So
see,
to what
and
you
that's
say,
deeper psychological stuff.
And but to what you were saying, if the person ain't, if I know that you're not a clean person, why put myself in that situation? Exactly. If it's going to affect me in that way.
Right.
Because what I can't do is say, okay, clean it, clean this, this, and this, and this, when I know you don't like to clean.
Yeah.
But then I'm upset because I can't change you, or it's affecting you so bad that you don't want to live in the house with him. Not to say you don't love him, or but you can't live like that. You haven't learned how to maintain it because you have to deal with your issues too.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, you're still expecting them to be as clean as you. That's not fair to you, but it's not also not fair to them.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the things, like I said, we do see in the beginning.
The red flags.
Mm-hmm.
Notice the red flags. But sometimes, you know, if you have not been doing the work to get to know yourself truly,
mm-hmm.
then things that are technically red flags can appear as comfort zones.
Mm-hmm. Because your
you're
brain.
So used to the chaos, you're so used to the abuse, or you're so used to being treated a certain way that it doesn't even appear to be a red flag to you.
Well, because your brain likes what's familiar.
Mm-hmm.
So exactly. Even if it's something that hurts you, you know,
mm-hmm.
even whatever kind of abuse you get, people can question, why did you go back?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you haven't learned yourself and you don't know how to deal with these situations,
mm-hmm.
your brain, regardless of how much you progress, if you're not consistently progressing, mm-hmm. your brain is going to remember. And yeah. your brain remember the comfort though. So you're going to remember the pain of it once you're back in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like your brain kind of like flip-flops or something like that, because all you know is what's familiar, and you're going to find that comfort. You're going to want to go back to what's familiar.
Right.
As bad as it could have been, it's still familiar.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you go back to it, and then that's when your brain finally lets you remember the reason why you left.
Well, I think Don Miguel Ruiz mentions in the Four Agreements book in the beginning, I think under the first agreement, he says something along the lines of, nobody can abuse you more than the extent to which you abuse yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so essentially what he's saying is that if a person, you know, if you have a high tolerance for abuse and a person abuses you at a level that's lower than that, you won't even notice that it's abuse. It's when mm-hmm. they abuse you at a level that is above your comfort zone tolerance to where you actually realize that there's an issue there.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's important for people to take into consideration. But essentially, guys, you know, this episode was just all about getting a little bit close and personal with just understanding our stories and how it contributed to, or our divorces contributed to, our spiritual experiences and our growth, and how it really became a catalyst for change. It mm-hmm. helped us to do shadow work. It helped us to own the parts that we play in our lives to manifest the experiences that mm-hmm. we are actually having. And, you know, how the reflection of that, the internal work being a reflection of the outer relationships that we now have,
right.
that we manifested, that are completely opposite of the relationships mm-hmm. that we came out of, and how mm-hmm. doing that work, you will see the results reflected in your life. And the right. people that we are with now are nothing like
what Listen, we I had were to go- then. I went back to my paper, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at all the characteristics that I wrote down, and I was like, oh, wait a minute. Hold on.
Check.
I'm like, oh my gosh, Jerica, it's everything I wrote.
Right.
Everything I wrote. Mm-hmm. Is everything that I wrote.
Yeah, exactly.
So I couldn't get that where I was at.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't but get it.
Because where you were at, that's giving off one energy, that's giving off a certain vibration that's mm-hmm. going to attract things that are like it. We are electromagnetic right, beings. Mm-hmm. So the attraction is a real thing. But maybe not in the way that they like to, in pop culture, try to make law of attraction.
No.
Attraction in itself is an actual thing, guys. We are electromagnetic beings. You do attract things to you. And so it's like once that mind change happened and the work was done, we started exhibiting a different, we were radiating a new energy, radiating a different vibration. And that's why we were able to attract the men in our lives that we have right now. You know, but like she said, if we had not done that work,
but you have to do the work
here. You have to do the work.
Do the work, because you have to, because then the accountability starts.
100%.
You know, and now I'm not a victim. I'm nobody's victim. But before,
no, you're not reactive. I was the victim. We're proactive.
But before, I was the victim.
I was. And it the feels victim. Like it.
Yeah, and it felt like I was the victim, it and it felt like it. I was perfect. Now you mean to tell me there's a shadow side of me,
exactly,
and I've attracted this to me because a part of this is me.
Yeah,
and exactly. So now I got to clean this out,
and you have to consider all the choices you made to get to that point. Like nobody made you choose him. Nobody made you be with him. These are choices that we made. We decided to date so and so, or to marry so and so, or to have children with so and so. So when we say the life that you're seeing is a life that you created, that's what we mean. You're creating with every single decision that you make. You're creating with your thoughts, because your thoughts becomes your words and your words become your actions. So where you are in life is 100% your doing. Okay. Right. Outside of the things that can happen to you just because we affect each other. Our electromagnetic fields affect each other. Our lives affect each other. So I'm not saying that there aren't circumstances where you become the recipient end of it, of something that somebody else has created, but you are a creator as well.
Right.
And the majority of the time you are in control of that which you create.
You just, whether consciously, you know, may not have known it, right? You may not have known it at the time that you were creating it,
right?
But when you, once you realize that you are a creator, you can change your path to wherever you want to go. And that part, I didn't realize that I was creating anything at the time.
Oh yeah, me neither.
I thought that
just victim, on the altar, you know. But that's a part of the conditioning that a lot of us have received. And it doesn't, that conditioning does not require you to take accountability, because the devil did it. Or, you know, it's always something outside of you. It's always something else. And that sort of thinking truly makes a person powerless. It takes away your power to be able to be in control of anything that you have going on, because you're just, everything is influenced outside of you. But you know, by doing the work and becoming more accountable as a being, you're going to see where you can be more in charge of things, and you can be on the front end instead of just being on the receiving end of everybody else's creations. You know, you put your creations out there too. So, yeah, that's that. What are you guys' thoughts on divorce and marriages and relationships and the things that we are creating? Write that up in the comments, because we want to know. You can, of course, follow us on Instagram at beyond_your_beliefs. You can shoot us an email at gobeyondyourbeliefs@gmail.com. And please, if you haven't listened to the previous episodes, take a listen. They're really good.
They really are. They really are.
They can be lengthy, but they're good. They're good. It's a lot of gems. I'm telling you, you got to dedicate the time, carve out the time to do it. But I think that's it for this episode. Toya, we're good?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, well, guys, thank you so much for listening. Please like, share, subscribe, and we will catch you on the next episode.
All right, later.
Bye.